You're listening to the First Baptist Rockdale Sunday Sermons Podcast. First Baptist Rockdale is a church dedicated to making disciples who make disciples. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
All right, as we read together, John chapter 15, starting in verse 1, it says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit, so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Verse 4, remain in me and I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine. Neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. Verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. And so as we look at this verse, this passage of scripture this morning, we're going to kind of go back to verse 1 and understand what it looks like and how does this apply to us as we walk through our life and how what parts we are, all right? And so that we look at verse 1, it says, I'm the true vine and I'm the Father and my Father is the gardener. I'm the true vine. Jesus made 7 statements of the I am the vine. He also says that it's all recorded in the Gospel of John. I am the living water. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the good shepherd. He also said, I'm the resurrection and the life. And then I am the way, the truth, and the life. These are only mentioned in the book of John. And so as we look at this and we understand that as Jesus was teaching, he's helping his disciples and the people understand who he truly was. And as we walk about, what does it mean to be the true vine? It's really important for us to understand that. So as we understand what Jesus is talking about here, he's speaking to his disciples from Isaiah chapter 5. And he talks about a vineyard being Israel's God's chosen people, but it's producing wild grapes. So what does that look like? God gave them people as leaders, all right? God gave them as leaders. He gave people as leaders, and he produced lasting results. I'll get it out here in just a minute, all right? The Israelites started following leaders and laws instead of following the vine, which is the Lord, all right? So when we speak of the branches, he's talking about us as humans, okay? We know that human leadership always has its ends. And we are people marked by failure. The leaders, teachers, priests, kings, judges, and prophets, they all failed. They were only human. But Jesus, he would be the one that would never fail. He's the one that is the one that never fails. He's the one that shows us that he's the true vine, the only one that wouldn't fail us. He's the original. He's the OG, it's like the kids like to say, right? The OG. They don't say that anymore. They don't say that at all anymore. That's what it is. The OG, they don't say that anymore. The original, kind of like we think of the original, you can't compare a chicken sandwich to anything other than Chick-fil-A because it's the original chicken sandwich, right? Yes. No, yeah, okay. Some of you are in agreement with that it's God's blessed chicken. It's like pre-blessed chicken, right? The original chicken sandwich, right? KFC claims to have the original, recipe of stuff. So, but God is the original. I'm just trying to fill you out. I'm trying to see how you're going, all right? See if you're with me. Get me a little bit looser here, like you can kind of flow with it, all right? The original. God is the original. He's the original thing, all right? As Christians, we don't live on substitutes, okay? We can't follow branches and expect to have an abiding relationship with Jesus. Branches as in talking about humans, leaders, all right? We have a living relationship with Christ, and we belong to him. If you've accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior, then you have a relationship with the living God, right? And that is our source. We need to be following that source instead of human leaders, right? So let's talk about branches, okay? We need to know what they are. That's us, the branches, all right? So looking at verse 5, It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. Okay? The branch cannot produce its own life. It must draw from the vine, right? So the branch is connected to the vine. It's our communion with Christ through the Spirit that makes it possible for us to bear fruit, as it just says right here. You may be dead. You may see a dead branch on a tree. How many of you have seen a dead branch on a tree, right? Okay, we see a dead branch on the tree. It's attached, but it may be attached, but it's dead. For some reason, it's dead because it has lost its connection with the main part of the tree, right? It may be attached, but it's dead. It's evidently, it falls off. It will fall off, it'll easily broken off. It may look like it's still connected, but as soon as you touch it, it falls, right? Or it may fall on its own and damage a car or something, right? What happens? Why is that happening? Well, it's because it's not truly connected to the main source. Sometimes you don't see it for a while, but eventually it shows up to be dead, okay? It fakes it for a while. The tree branch fakes it for a while. It looks like it's good. It looks like it's fine. We have this tree in our yard that looked just fine for a while. It was it's a peach tree, right? And it was at camp, and this tree is like, oh, that's great. It had some leaves on it, whatever. Next thing I know, the tree is dead, and it's like not producing anything. And you're like, well, it looked just fine, but in fact, it was dead. It didn't also help that it got struck by lightning after that too. It died really quickly after that, but it was already dead, but the lightning struck it, and so it was dead even more. It made it more apparent that it was dead after it got struck by lightning, because the inside was revealed that it was no good. All right, so sometimes you may not see it for a while, but eventually it shows up that it's dead. It fakes it for a little while, but it starts to see signs at some point. You have to remain connected to the main source to keep the fruit. Something was wrong in the first place for a branch to die, right? If you're not connected to the main source, and if it loses its connection, it's going to die. And I say that a lot, just going to kind of get the picture of what it looks like for us. We're not producing fruit if we're not connected to that main source. As a branch, you got to be connected to the vine, all right? Or the main trunk of it, right? Which is the vine, all right? There are a lot of things, a lot of images of Christ and believers given in Scripture to emphasize this important concept of union and communion, okay? In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about a body and members. The body has many members, okay? It also talks about it in Ephesians 5, 24 through 33, where he talks about the bride and the bridegroom, all right? A member of the body cut off from the body would die. A marriage creates union, but it takes daily love and devotion to maintain the communion. If we don't stay connected to our spouse, if you're married, or to you're not connected to them, if you're not communicating with them, there's this like wall that begins to take place. There's this division that begins to happen. You got to have communion with your partner, as in communication and continual communion, so that you can continue to grow together. It's not just something that you just show up and sit on the couch and then get up and leave, or whatever it may be, just go in and out. It's a continual communion, all right? The same thing for us as believers, as we're going to talk about, is that we have to stay in communion with the Lord so that we are connected to the main source, so that we're continually growing. A quote says this, the sooner we as believers discover that we are but branches, the better we will react to the Lord, for we will know our weakness and confess our need for His strength. How do we abide? We abide by reading God's Word daily, not just going to church. This is very important. Being at church is very important for you, and the communion that happens here at church. But we also need to be reading our Word, reading the Word outside of church. We need to be praying. We need to be journaling. We need to write. We need to do our things. We need to study God's Word. We need to be discipled. We need to disciple others. Men's group on Monday nights. I hear Seth's teaching. It's going to be really good. Maybe I'll drive back over for it. But here's the thing. Those things are really important for you to be a part of. Those things are really important because what it does is it helps our communion with the Lord, not just with each other as a body of believers, but it helps us be connected to the Lord. It helps us grow. It helps us to know Him more, to be connected more. The disciple others, that helps you along the way. There are several students that were spoke to this weekend that need to be discipled. What are you doing to help that? Help disciple, help grow, help other believers grow in their walk. No matter what your age is, you can help disciple, you can help grow. All right? So those are ways that we stay connected as branches. That's how we stay connected to the vine. Here's some other parts of the verse 2 where it says, every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. It's the vine dresser. The vine dresser. Okay, the vine dresser is in charge of taking care of the vines. Pruning, cutting, it can be painful, but it is good for us, right? He, the Father, prunes the branches so that it will produce more fruit. Look how it grows from in these verses. It says that every branch that does not produce fruit, he removes. He prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. And then if you look down in verse 5, as we read a while ago, that it produces what? Much fruit, right? So it goes from no fruit to more fruit to much fruit. As we stay connected and we're drawing closer to the Lord, it produces much fruit. Christians pray that God will make them more fruitful, but they don't like and don't enjoy the pruning process. We want to be more fruitful for the Lord, but we don't like the pruning process that takes place in that when we ask for that, okay? The pruning process that follows is hard. He prunes us to get rid of the bad and the living parts. He cuts the good and the bad off. God wants both quantity and quality. When it comes to pruning the vines, it's the most important part of the whole process. And the people who do that must do it carefully, and they're trained carefully, or they can destroy the entire crop. Some vineyards invest 2 to 3 years in training so that they know where to cut, how to cut, and even at an angle to make the cut. There is also a season of when it is good for pruning and a season of not, okay, for the health. So how does the Father prune us? Sometimes he simply uses the word to convict and cleanse us. Sometimes he disciplines us. The more we abide with Christ, the more fruit we bear. But not only we bear more fruit, we become a stronger branch to be able to bear the fruit we are producing. So if we're producing fruit, the more fruit that we produce, the heavier it gets, right? And so we've got to be connected more so that we can become stronger so that we can bear the fruit that is provided or given to us. All right, so let's look at the fruit. That's number 4, by the way. I have 4 points and we're on number 4. I'm doing pretty well. I'm good, you guys. So. That's all right. This point's really long, so it's okay. Yeah. Yes, yeah, you can re-preach. All right, verse, the fruit. All right, number 4, the fruit. We look at verse 4, verse 2, verse 4, verse 5, and verse 8. It says this, for every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it may produce more fruit, right? The word fruit is a lot, all right? Remain in me and I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you do nothing without me. And then in verse 8, he says, my Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Your fruit proves you're a disciple. And your lack of fruits also proves something. Okay? This verse, the world has the right to inspect you for fruit. Jesus essentially tells the watching world, if someone claims to be mine, look at his or her fruit. Fruit will expose the frauds. If you claim to be a Christian, people are always inspecting your fruit, and they have the right. Jesus gave them that. Why is that? Because his followers have nothing to hide. Our fruit testifies to the truth of the gospel. Jesus who died must have risen because he clearly lives inside of us. Because disciples are connected to Jesus like branches to the vine, they will bear fruit. A fruitless disciple is no disciple at all. It does not mean believers won't suffer periods of drought or barren years, but over the course of life, they will see evidence of Jesus' life at work in them. Just doing things in the name of the Lord, just to say that it is in the name of the Lord, but not true surrender to the Lord, right? We can say that all we want, because the Lord said, the Lord told me to do this. I can do this in the name of the Lord, but it may not be true. We're just stating that claim. That's not okay. True surrender to him. Fruit is obvious thing. Fruit can look good on the outside, and it also can be fake for a little while on the inside until it rots. I've seen some really good, like, decorations that look really good, like real fruit. There's nothing on the inside, right? There's nothing on the inside. There is actual fruit that looks like it is ripe and ready to eat until you take a bite into it and you see maybe an apple where on the inside there might be some type of creature inside of it, all right? Because it's rotted on the inside, okay? It may look good on the outside, but a lot of times it can be rotten on the end, okay? It eventually finds its way on the outside. True colors of your heart will come out. Quit faking it and truly be tapped into the Lord so he gets the glory and honor for your true service to him. It's not about what you get out of it. It's about what the Lord can do through you. We can serve and it makes us feel good, but if we're truly attached to the vine, we won't have to wonder if we do enough for God. You will know, because at that point you can't help but want to do anything and everything for the Lord. Fruit is a byproduct of being connected to a good source. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Goodness? Did I not say that one? Oh, thank you. All right. If you as a church, if we as a church, because we are all a church as believers, the church body, if we are producing good fruit, people will know, and it will be known by the way we live. John 15:16 says, "You do not choose me, but I choose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give." 2 Peter 3:18, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus and Savior. To him be the glory and now and into the day of eternity." It is a great privilege to abide in Christ and bear fruit for the Father's glory. It is a great privilege. So what does that look like? What does that mean for us? What is the Lord trying to tell us through all of this? It's the simple truth that we must remain attached to the vine. That is where we get all of our nutrients. It's where we get all the good. He's our living water. He's our life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's our resurrection. He's our good shepherd. But we have to stay connected to him so that we can produce the fruit and be strong branches that carry it to others. Too many times in churches, we have too many believers that just fake it. We show up to church, we go home, we come back each Sunday, but we don't do anything in between. If we're believers and we continually tap in, people will know the difference. We don't have to hide, and so it's not just something that we just show up and do and just hopefully we don't run into people throughout the week that go to church with us. It's kind of hard to do in this community, right? People know. if you go to church or not. People know what you do. Are you encouraging and building each other up as you go through the week and through the process as a believer? That's what we are to do as a body of believers. When I was younger, when I went to college, I had a relationship with the Lord, but I didn't stay. I grew up in church. I was at church all my life. I told the joke earlier that I went to church 9 months before I was born. That's what we did. I had a drug problem. My mom drugged me to church. It was one of those things where we were at church all the time. And I knew that when I was younger that the Lord had called me into ministry. I didn't know what that looked like. Didn't understand that completely. But I was at church all the time. I had a walk with the Lord, and I knew what it was. But when I went to college my first year, I didn't stay connected to the vine. I wasn't staying discipled in my walk. I wasn't reading like I needed to. I wasn't staying connected. I wasn't part of a body of believers that were encouraging me. And I was just kind of going through the motions. I knew what was right, and I'd say what was right, but I was not producing the fruit that I needed to, like I should have been. I had the Holy Spirit working on me, telling me what was right and wrong, and I kept fighting against that. But the Lord stayed with me, and I remember the Holy Spirit really impressing on me what I was doing was wrong, and it came to the point where I couldn't ignore it anymore. And I came to the realization that if I didn't change, it wasn't going to be good. And so at that point, I broke down, realized that I was doing what was wrong, confessed, sought after the Lord, and just months after that, I'd gone to camp with my home church, gone back home, had gone to the camp with my church. And at that point, like I said, I knew that the Lord had called me to ministry early on, but I'd fallen away. But when I went to camp that year, that's when I felt the Lord calling me into student ministry. I would have picked that up earlier if I would have stayed connected to the vine. Wouldn't have strayed. We all go through process. We all go through things. That's why we have the Holy Spirit to help us, guide us along the way. But it's important for us to understand that we need to stay connected to the vine so that we don't have to go through those things and so that we can follow the Lord like we need to. Let me challenge you with this. So many times we're focused on other people's fruit and what they are producing and play the comparison game because we're really good at that. We see the more important thing is that we focus on the vine so we can be a strong branch for the Lord and in the Lord. And then we will bear fruit and good fruit. We stay focused on Him, the vine and the vine dresser, as He prunes us, as He works on us, as He grows us to be better believers and more like Him, as our identity and our image should be that of Christ, not of the world, that of Christ. And the more that we grow closer to Him, the better off we are, but the better off the world is around us. So maybe you're here today and you say, Aaron, I'm walking with the Lord, I'm doing good. But maybe you need to ask the question, Lord, what do you need to prune in my life? What do you need to do? Because we can all use that. We can all use a little bit of pruning. And I'm not just talking about shaving, but I'm talking about pruning things that don't need to be in our life. What are some things you're saying? I'm doing good with my walk with the Lord, but what can I prune? Maybe you're here and you say, I need to figure it out. I'm not bearing good fruit. I need to bear the fruit of the Lord, and maybe you need to commit to Him today. Maybe that's something that you need to do. Maybe you need to come back to the Father, be reconnected to the vine. Allow that to flow through you. But maybe you're here today and you don't even have a relationship with the Lord. You're not even a part of the vine. You can't even be a branch. But maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I need the Lord. I need to be connected so that I can become a branch, so that I can be what the Lord wants. I need that in my life today. I need His peace. I need His grace. I need His forgiveness. What does that look like for you today? I'm going to pray. We're going to come. We're going to sing a song. Pastor Matt will be down here in front. If you need to make a decision, you need prayer, you come down and you do that.